We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Good morning and welcome to Focus. This is our morning talk show. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're also very happy to have back on the program once again the guy that we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore, and he has been stopping by for a very long time now on a regular basis, first Wednesday of the month, 10 o'clock hour, and we talk about food and cooking. And there's always a theme, a particular theme to the program. Sometimes it's some key ingredient. Sometimes it's maybe a particular dish. We've talked about all kinds of things, and the idea is we chew on that topic for a while, and we invite people to call in and tell us stories and suggest recipes, and we always have a lot of fun while he's here. And he always picks a topic, and a couple of days before the show, my phone rings, and they say it's Doyle. I say, okay. We pick up the phone, and he says, all right, here's what we're going to do. And he calls on Monday, and he says he would like to talk about apples. And I said, okay, that's a good thing to do. Great variety, a lot of different things you can do. So that's the topic for the morning. And I know he's particularly interested in unusual, interesting, you know, different things you can do with apples that go beyond pie, tarts, and so forth. 333-9455 is the number here in Champaign-Urbana. Toll free, 800-222-9455. And you may also email your thoughts to will-talk@illinois.edu. Glad to have you here.
Yes, thank you.
So you were in, I know at the time that we talked that you were in
Northern Kentucky.
In Northern Kentucky.
And Southern Indiana.
And Southern Indiana. So,
and the peaches are over and the apples have started. And their big apple fair is this next week. So I thought, well, let's get ahead of the big mass of apples. Although I know a lot have come since Independence Day, they say, you know, that was the time when apples started to come in. But we'll be having a flood of apples, and I thought, well, get ready for them because that's the next thing. So it was goodbye to the peaches and hello to the apples. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, let's find out what people are doing with apples.
Mm-hmm. Are there particular varieties that they grow around there?
There are something like 5,000 varieties of apples in the world.
Yes.
And I just don't – I can't answer that too much. I know that there's some very fine apples grown here in this county. And there's an orchard outside of town here.
Curtis.
Oh, well, yes. That's the big – but there's a fellow who has a lot of heritage apple pie.
Oh, I see.
And people pay attention to them, mm-hmm. and I know they're always particular. I don't remember my family being aimed at one variety or another. Well, apples, there they are. I have favorites of mine. You have favorites of yours that we go and get now. But I don't know what the most popular apple is in the area. But it seemed to me that there's a lot of things that are done with apples, since apples are one of the oldest fruits. It was first mentioned in Persia. That's a long time ago. Persia was a long time ago and still is. Apples have been in all the major cultures. Mm-hmm. And as I say, there are 5,000 varieties of apples. Some of them you can't eat, but they're there.
They're not native to the New World, are they?
Or were
there,
no.
So are there no native New World varieties? So
I don't think
came
there,
from
there might be, so. But I don't think there are. I haven't seen anything exactly about. But we're constantly making new kinds of apples here, and others are coming into us from other places. So we have a very apple rich culture, and I was just wondering, well, what do people like to do when they decide they're going to cook with apples?
Okay. Well, again, you can give us a call. Share the recipe if you have a good one. 333-9455. Toll free, 800-222-9455. Email will-talk@illinois.edu. Actually, I have a sort of a request. I'm interested in some suggestions. You could probably tell me how to do this. A couple years ago, came across a recipe, a tart recipe that I've made a couple times. It's really good. And for me, I'm not really all that great with pastry. The thing that makes it really easy, and this is a berry, they call it a rustic berry tart.
Uh-huh.
The idea is that you roll out a crust, and it doesn't particularly have to be beautiful, but you want to get it relatively round. And then you take your fruit mixture, which in this case is blackberries and blueberries.
Oh, yes.
And it also has sugar in it, a little flour, a little lemon juice. I'm not sure what all else. So, and you mix it up. Essentially, that's your filling. So you roll out your crust. You take your filling, and you put it in the center of this. You have to leave a little naked pastry around the edge. And then you just fold the edges over.
Yes.
So that the stuff doesn't run out.
Yeah.
You put it on a baking sheet on a piece of parchment, put it in the oven, whammo,
that's it.
And it's pretty, and it's fabulous.
It's really a rustic tart.
So I made this a couple times, and then I started thinking, well, surely you could do the same technique with other kinds of fruit. And I'm thinking,
yes,
well,
yep.
Okay, how do I do that with apples?
Well, the main thing you want to do is, with making a tart as opposed to an apple pie, where you pile it in an apple pie, you can pile the apples real high, okay. And some of them pack them in there really, really large. You fan them and lay them around and just lightly overlap them. And then you pull these little edges up. You could, if you wanted to, make a second crust and lay it over it and then just pinch it around the edge, and you have kind of something that looked like a giant fried apple pie.
Mm-hmm.
But the one you're talking about, I like to do that too because it's wham, bam, done,
yeah,
you know? And,
yeah.
And besides that, it kind of looks neat. And I believe Paula Deen does that a couple of times. I've seen her recently this year do some tarts in that matter.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not
ready to tell you the difference between a tart and a gallantin, and all those names are different. But I think she calls it a rough tart,
mm-hmm.
And it's just piled up.
Okay. Very
but,
good.
But well, the real answer to your question is don't make it real thick, and because then, you know, the juices would go out,
yeah,
beyond that, and then also you can after you have cooked it a little bit, you can spread something like maybe a marmalade or an apricot jam over the top of it, or even after it's out, and that's a nice
makes
way
a nice
to end
glaze.
It. Yeah.
Makes it shiny.
Yeah,
makes it looks really,
yes, it does
look really pretty. So then it would be just I would be doing it like I would do a tart, but maybe not as fancy as the really elegant,
well,
kinds of things that you
and also
would make in
it
a tart.
It isn't going to be that big,
yeah,
because when you have your 9 or 10 inch, and then you've taken 2 inches in, it's going to end up being a smaller piece.
That's,
but it's a little,
yes,
more elegant. It's very elegant.
That's true. This berry tart, it's not that big, but
it's the kind that Ina Garten would feed to her husband.
Well, anything that she would make, I would.
Well,
make
she the, has. She has done that. I've watched her make one of those too.
Right. Well, we got a caller here. Others are welcome. This is our monthly visit with Doyle Moore, the man we call our chef in residence. We've been doing it for a long time now. On the first Wednesday, 10 o'clock, picking something and talking about it, telling stories, exchanging recipes. This time around, he said, "Let's talk about apples. It's the beginning of apple time. There are a lot of good apples available. What besides maybe your basic apple pie?" Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that.
Besides your basic apple pie, well, what kind of things do you do with apples? And here's someone in Belgium to talk with on our line 4. Hello.
Hello, and good morning to you all.
Hmm?
Yes.
I wanted to point out that Michael Pollan, in a book called Botany of Desire, talks about apples a great deal. And apples have really had a very strong influence on civilization and stuff.
Hmm, yes.
Notably is the fact that apples historically were mainly used to produce alcohol. They liked applejack. And everybody drank a lot of applejack.
Yes, yes. That's another. You raise a very interesting question. Problem. Everywhere except the United States has fermented apple juice, and that's what they call cider. In America, we don't call. We don't have a fermented apple juice cider. We have it's just squeezed juice, and that came about because of the prohibition. They killed it. They killed the use of homemade hard liquor made from apples. So tell us some more about that.
Well, the other aspect about it is that the apple tree actually came from essentially, Afghanistan, that area over there.
Yes.
In South Central Asia, and then moved on to the rest of the world. And the interesting, most interesting thing about apples is that they don't breed true. In other words, you can't pick an apple, take the seeds out of it, put it in the ground, and grow the apple tree that you have. What they do is they'll go out and they'll find a particularly tasty apple, and then they'll guard that apple tree like it's Fort Knox. And they'll take cuttings off of that and put it on a root, and then they grow the type of apple you want.
Oh, my. I didn't know it was that complex.
Yes, it's not easy to get a good apple. You have to go out and find one. And those trees were protected very, very, very dearly. Stark Brothers did it, and I think there's other apple people who did it. Maybe there's somebody that has a lot more information than me that can tell you a lot more about it. But that's what I had to say about it.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Well, it is old.
Other calls, welcome, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455, email will-talk@illinois.edu. Well, I do seem to recall this story about a lady and a snake and an apple.
Yes, there was one.
Something about that goes back away. Well, what besides apple pie, what would you want to be doing with
an apple? I do have a passion. I'm hoping that somebody will give me a recipe. They have to be from Chicago, and they have to be Czechoslovakian, and they have to make something. And I forget what the Czechoslovakian name of it was. But my roommate in college, his mother would make these apple dumplings, and they had a special name, and they just seemed to be better than any apple dumpling I'd ever had. And, well, it's because they're Czechoslovakian, I guess. So if somebody has any good ideas on a baked apple apple dumpling, I'd like to hear about that because, it's been it's been 50 years since I had the taste of that, and I'd like to try it again. Hmm. So, I think mother baked apples. But it was never an affair. It was never a fancy affair. It was just put apples in and bake them. And, of course, they split and they popped and they did all kinds of funny things. But they were tasty and they were elegant. I always enjoyed eating them. You often would just bake the apples. But I was watching, as I watch constantly, I'm always watching the Food Channel. But someone 2 weeks ago was baking an apple and did something that I thought was rather brilliant. They took a knife and girdled the apple, just a knife cut all the way around the apple. And she said that way they will not explode and they won't break up and they'll stay nice and whole because that gives a release to that skin and all. And took them out of the oven. They look very, very good. And then there are various stuffings that you can put in apples, and I find I'm interested in the variation of those stuff. There's a lot to do, so I want to hear.
All right. Well, again, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Email will-talk@illinois.edu. Here's someone in Cisna Park on the toll-free line. Line 4, hello.
Hello. I was remembering my grandmother always used to core apples, slice them, and then boil them in water and cinnamon red hots.
Cinnamon red hots. Yes, I'd forgotten about that. Yes.
We'd put those up in a jar, and we'd eat them like candy. I mean, they were one of our favorite snacks when I was a kid growing up. We just loved them.
Yes, cinnamon red hots and apples. I think that was very much a 50s sort of thing. I haven't heard any. I don't even know if you can buy cinnamon red hots anymore.
You definitely can. And sometimes they're in the baking aisle for like decoration.
Oh, all right. All right. I know that we always had them in the house. That's good. That's good.
And we just used to love those, and they'd decorate plates sometimes when she'd make something look fancy. She'd put one of those apple slices on.
Now, they were then sliced across the apple, so they were like rings.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. And then they were red because the dye in the red hots. But then they also, That is very funny because you don't put anything else with it. It's all of the all of the sugar and the spices and everything are in the Red Hots.
Oh, that's right.
You did remind me of something. I like that. Thank you very, very much.
Uh-huh.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Oh, boy, Red Hots.
Now, you're going to be going right out and buying some Red Hots, aren't you?
Yes. Won't I?
All right. Little cardboard box. Don't they? Didn't they always come in a cardboard box?
No, ours always were in a cellophane bag.
Oh, okay.
Larger amounts. Large amounts. And I'm just thinking, I haven't had any reason for having Red Hots around anymore. Yeah. And then later down the line, they made them in the shape of hearts. Especially at Valentine's Day, you could get Red Hots that were Red Hearts.
That were Red Hearts.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We would always just eat them. But I do remember it was you baked apples with them. Yes.
All right, let's go Gibson City. Line one, hello.
Yes, hello. I was fortunate enough to get two big boxes of apples. And they're for sauce. They're a soft apple. And,
yes.
I was wondering what else I could do besides applesauce.
Well, apple butter.
Okay.
Apple butter is simply applesauce that is cooked down for a longer period of time. I don't know if you put different spices in them. I'm thinking that you're aiming to make an apple butter, but apple butter, homemade apple butter, is really, really nice. It takes a long time, and it's very magic because you'll be cooking these apples, and then they'll mush up, and you do want to peel the apples before you make the applesauce.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
You'd continue to cook the applesauce, continue at a very, very, very low rate, and then you have to stir quite a bit. If you've ever gone to some of these fairs where we have in the fall, where they make apple butter. I know they do that over in Indiana at Park County. And they had a very special stick which had some holes in the bottom. It sort of looked like a great big giant hoe that was about 2 feet long, a big a hoe end, but it had holes in it, and you use that to stir the apple butter in large kettles. So you cook that until it gets a real nice dark brown, and the moisture has sort of dissipated quite a bit. It takes a long time, but oh yes, apple butter would be good.
Okay, anything else?
Well, that's why I'm asking to hear how people were using apples. I say that I like the idea of baked apples because there are so many things that you can do with a baked apple in stuffing, and I'm kind of curious as to what certain stuffings are. I have a recipe that uses sauerkraut. Which sauerkraut and bacon and portobello mushrooms to stuff the apple with. You would cut the top off of it, and then you would take a melon baller and then scrape out the inside of the apple and then stuff it with various things. And I think that there's a lot of combinations that we could hear about that would be kind of interesting. And then bake them. You bake them. Now, you have to have a little bit of water in the bottom of a pan. I would put them in a Pyrex flat Pyrex, like a cake plate, and then put about a half inch of water on the bottom, and then cook them in the oven for 35 to 45 minutes, and you'd have an awful good treat, baked apple. But like I said, do it like the big folks do now, and put a ring, cut cut a knife slice, a slit, just to break the skin around it, and it won't explode in the oven.
Oh. Okay.
Is it general? So baked apples would be a good thing. Of course, you can't beat apple pie, and if you like dried fruits, dried apples are extremely good, and you can save a lot and have dried apples if you dehydrated them. And then there are very special things that you make with dried apples, and then don't forget sausage and biscuits and fried apples for this coming fall.
Fried
apples. They take a long time. You don't hurry them, and you just fry them, and they get nice and soft, and then they caramelize a little bit. I would put some brown sugar in them, and maybe a little bit of cinnamon. I have a a friend who likes to use cardamom, but I think that that's too way out. That's too way out.
Well, I'd try the cardamom just because we like to try different recipes.
Well, it's just to give another little taste. But fried apples are the things that I really look forward to because they're just so good. But I always like them with sausages.
Okay.
So have some fried apples, have some baked apples, and make some apple butter.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think I saw in one of my recipe books to bake the baked apple butter where you put it in the oven.
Oh.
So I will check that.
Well, I would say you probably, my guess is you would cook the apples and mush them up. You know, you'd cook them for maybe 25 minutes and then mush them up and put them into a pan and put that in the oven, a slow oven, not really a hot oven, and cook them for a long period of time. And they would do, and they'll, as I say, they'll turn brown and the moisture will disappear. I hadn't thought about baking apples to make an apple butter, but that would certainly work.
Yeah, well, I'll check out that recipe.
Okay.
I thought one of my cookbooks, but thank you for all your ideas.
Sure.
Thank you. Other folks are certainly welcome to call in with a thought, a question, a story, a recipe. This is our monthly cooking show. We do it on the first Wednesday of the month with Doyle Moore. We call him our chef in residence, and he said this time around he'd like to talk about apples. So we're looking for recipes that use apples, and again, maybe it's something that is a little bit of a departure. Probably the first things you will think about, the things we've talked about. Well, you can do apple pie, and you can make applesauce, and you can make apple butter. You can just take the apples, as Doyle says, you could just put them in the oven, and you could bake them. Those are maybe the first things you're going to think about. Well, what past that? What other sorts of
what
things?
What other do you
you going to do with apples? And we're going to have a lot of good apples here, well, right now probably, and for a while as apples start coming in. What's your favorite thing to do? 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455, email will-talk@illinois.edu. I just want to go back for a second here. Maybe I wasn't really paying attention because I guess I've never been entirely sure what the difference between applesauce and apple butter is.
Time cooking.
Okay, so it's just the butter is cooked longer.
Longer.
And I guess it is also...
Very, very dark brown.
It's dark brown, and it's a little... It's water probably thick. Content. It's thick.
Thick.
Thicker. So you've reduced it and probably concentrated the flavors.
And you see, it is a way of preserving an apple for later eating during the year. But apple butter... and there are a lot of restaurants will serve you apple butter with certain things in the fall, and especially the farm operated restaurants and such things. Apple butter is always apple butter and cottage cheese is always on the table. That's a little German, but you know, that's kind of Pennsylvania Dutch style of the seven sweets and sours. And I know that there are several restaurants that I do know that you go to, and there's always apple butter and cottage cheese.
All right, let's talk with someone in Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hi, Doyle.
Hello there.
Hi, this is Judy McCullough.
Oh, Judy, hello.
I would like to tell you that when my parents had their apple orchard up near Peoria,
yes,
my mother did make a lot of apple butter in her oven. She did it in the following way. She had a large, large stainless steel bowl just barely fit inside the oven.
A bowl, uh-huh.
Stainless steel bowl. She filled that up with apples that she had peeled, cored, and quartered. She didn't bother to cook them ahead of time.
Oh, all right.
She dumped them in there with one or two cinnamon sticks.
Cinnamon sticks,
no
yeah.
No sugar, no more liquid, no nothing. Turned the oven on about as low as she could get it and let that go for hours.
Yes, about 250, probably yeah. About 250 degrees right. She'd have.
And it did get dark, and occasionally she would come in and give it a stir, but not very often. And that apple butter was absolutely rich and sweet and well-flavored, and it was utterly simple. She didn't have time to babysit it, so that's how she invented it. her recipe. Oh, and it worked very well.
Well, I'm glad to know that, because I hadn't thought until the previous caller had mentioned about baking them. I had never thought of doing it, because I'm always seeing them in those great big outdoor kettles with those big paddles.
Oh, that's the old way. Yes.
That you stir and stir and stir. But now I'll go through your mother's recipe again. There was no water added,
no,
so it's going to take the
kind.
It's going to take the moisture from the, and they were peeled.
Yes.
And so, and quartered.
Yes.
And so then they just sit in the oven and fall apart.
And they cook down, yes.
Oh, that's great. Well, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.
That's really great. Oh, I'm glad to know that, because that is a new recipe for me. That's good. Cinnamon sticks and apples, and cook them away.
Okay, let's go to Robinson, line number 4. Hello.
Excuse me, Dave and Doyle.
Yes, hi.
I'm calling upon possibly 70-year-old memories of our Methodist church women who made apple butter in an iron cauldron in the side yard of the church.
Right.
And that, to make the most tasteful apple butter, cider was added.
All right. And by that, you mean apple juice.
Using cider as added liquid as the apples boiled down, and it gave a much richer flavor. That is my memory, but God knows at this age if I'm remembering right. Okay, thank you.
I think you're pretty close to remembering it right, because that would be the way it was done out of doors. And so, but they would add it, and actually the fire would be hotter. Cooking in a cauldron than it would be in this low oven, and I have an idea that Judy's mother started pretty early in the morning and kept it going until pretty late at night in a very, very slow oven. So it would take a long time to do that, and so the use of liquids outside where you're stirring it quite a bit is going to take off a lot of the moisture. So you had to add some.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay. To another caller here in Downs, line 2. Hello.
Hi. I have a bunch of apple recipes. I don't know what you want, but David, your tart?
Yes.
Deborah Madison has she calls those galettes, and I've made it a number of times where you fold over the edge of the of the pie dough. And what she does with apples is she chops most of them,
She
mixes them with currants or raisins, little calvados, candied lemon, sugar, pine nuts, actually. She does toast pine
nuts.
Well, that sounds good.
And then she saves some apples that she slices, and she arranges those in a pretty pattern on top of the chopped one.
Uh-huh.
And then you fold it up over so that you cover the, you know, the ugly ones. And you have this pretty, you know, these pretty rings of apple slices on the top.
Is that recipe in a particular book of hers?
It's in Vegetarian Cooking for Everyone.
Oh, okay. We have that book at home, so I'm sure I could.
Yeah.
I have it.
It's the apple galette with pine nuts and candied lemon.
Ooh.
That sounds really good.
And Doyle, do you remember the recipe I gave you for focaccia, quick focaccia?
Oh, yes, I do.
If you top that with sliced apples.
Okay.
Knead some golden raisins into the crust, or dried cranberries into the dough.
Yes.
And then top it with thinly sliced apples.
Apples, yes.
And a little bit of sugar and a little bit of cheese.
Some cheese. What do you
and
want?
Don't drown it in cheese.
Cheddar?
You could do cheddar. I've done a combination of Jack and Asiago.
Oh, yes. Oh, Asiago would have been
so
a
you
nice
get,
taste.
You know, I don't like all Asiago on it, but you get, you know, the gooey cheese and some of the sharpness. And then I have an apple salsa.
Oh, I don't think I know about that.
And this I'll give you a whole recipe for.
Good.
You cut Granny Smith apples into a quarter-inch dice or some kind of, you know, tart apple.
Mm-hmm.
A medium onion cut about the same way. A medium sweet red pepper cut the same way.
Mm-hmm.
A jalapeno pepper.
Oh, all right.
Minced. A third cup dried currants or dried cranberries.
Currants. Mm-hmm.
A tablespoon of cilantro chopped.
Green cilantro. Yeah, cilantro.
A teaspoon of grated orange zest.
Orange zest, yes.
3/4 cup of orange juice.
Zest and juice, yes.
2 tablespoons Dijon mustard.
Mustard, my goodness.
It a little bit more, not too much.
No, but this I'm salivating because you're hitting me with all these tastes that are coming in from the side is really good. Yes,
you'll like this too.
Yes,
a teaspoon of ground cumin.
Cumin.
A 1/4 cup canola or safflower oil, just a neutral,
mm-hmm.
you know, vegetable oil. A tablespoon of sesame oil.
Oh my gosh.
And salt and pepper to taste.
Sesame oil at the end. Oh yes.
Mm. And you mix everything till you get to the orange juice together in a bowl.
Yes.
And you mix up those last things into a dressing.
Oh, all right. Yes.
So that you whisk them up really well. Pour it over, and refrigerate it for 2 to 4 hours. It lasts very, very well. If I'm going to hold it for a long time, I leave the cilantro out until the very end.
Yeah, because it'd be kind of wilty.
Yeah, but it will be fine made a day ahead because it's got all of the oil and the citrus in it. The orange.
I'm going to push it one step farther, and then when you had enough of that, you can't stand it. Then cook it, and you'll have the greatest chutney in the world. I mean, isn't that very close to a chutney recipe?
Yeah, it is. I hadn't thought of it that way
before. Yeah, with mustard and hot peppers and onions and apples.
An uncooked chutney.
An apple salsa. Oh, that really sounds good. Now, what would you serve that with?
I did it. The first time I made it, I was doing a pork roast.
Pork roast, yeah.
For Christmas.
That's exactly what I was in my mind would be a pork roast.
And it was absolutely wonderful with it.
A cold salsa, like, I bet that was kind of a surprise, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I mean, people don't know.
Because you expect a cooked sauce with it of some sort, but to have this all fresh.
Yeah, I've also served it with Cornish game hen.
Of course. And then when you serve the Cornish game hens, do you take a little square of sugar, a little cube of sugar, and then soak it in lemon extract and light it on the breast?
Oh, so when you serve it, I've never done that.
So when you serve it, here you have this plate with all these little flames coming out of the breast of the little Cornish hen.
I don't know if I like that. Or
well, I like drama. I served that. When one of my colleagues came to interview for a position here, I had the dean and the head of the school and two or three faculty members and I made those rock Cornish hens, and I have a great big plate that Dave Shaner had made for me, a big plate, and I baked oranges, which is another real treat.
Mm.
Baked oranges, put them in the center and then rounded it with these chickens and put the fire on it and then when oh, I was crazy then. when it was served, I had a friend standing at the record player, and Kate Smith was singing God Bless America. And I brought this in flaming with Kate Smith singing God Bless America. And you know what? Everyone stood up. Everyone stood up when I brought this in and set it on the table. I've never had an experience like that before or after, but that's in my mind. So give it a try.
I want to come to your house.
It is a good thing. Oh, I like this. Ah, Granny Smith apples, onions, peppers, jalapenos, currants, cilantro, orange juice, and zest, mustard. Let's see. Was that a Dijon mustard, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And cumin and oil and sesame oil.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that little touch of sesame. Not too much, is it?
No.
Yeah, just a little at the end. I'm going to make that. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
All right.
That's
thank
a
you
winner, winner.
I think it sounds really good, too.
A double winner.
I can see that. I can just see that paired with a little roast pork.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
All right. We appreciate it. We have about 10 minutes.
Oh, come on.
Okay. Let's say 15 minutes left in this part of Focus. Doyle Moore is here. He's the man we call our chef in residence once a month, forever. He's been stopping by, and we're going to do it forever. He's been stopping by here once a month for a long time. First Wednesday, we talk about food and cooking. And this time around, he said, let's talk about apples. What can you do with apples, particularly beyond the usual things, beyond your apple pie and your applesauce and your baked apples? Good things all, but something different. And this really sounds really good to me. This is like right up my alley. And as we have discussed so many times, there ain't nothing that can't be improved by putting some cumin on it.
Yes, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
It's the miracle ingredient, I think. Let's talk with someone in Madison, Wisconsin. Line 4. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'm calling with first a brief tip for all bakers of apple pies. One of my preferences is instead of using granulated sugar, I will use apple syrup to sweeten the pie.
Apple syrup?
Apple syrup is available in most grocery stores, but the best stuff usually comes from a farmer's market, a big one, or a specialty store.
Yeah.
And it often comes in two colors, pink, which is just awful, and brown. And what I would do is prepare just like you would with a pie, and since you're adding a little bit of liquid,
yes.
A tablespoon or so of flour tossed in with the apple.
Flour, yes.
And then a scant quarter cup of brown apple syrup instead of sugar.
Instead of
and
sugar.
This improves the flavor of grocery store apples enormously and of regular apples, too.
And then and the flour is going to thicken it.
Right.
And apple syrup, I didn't know. I have no idea about that. I'm going to check that out.
That's number one.
Yes.
And number two is a heritage recipe that both my grandmother and my mother used, and I grew up on a Wisconsin dairy farm. This was the preferred method for keeping apples until February or March, and it's sulfuring them. And what you would do is take a large earthenware crock,
mm-hmm.
5 gallons perhaps, and sterilize it with boiling water until you're quite sure that it's clean. And then you take perfect apples and peel them and quarter them, and they must have no blemishes whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And you work quickly, put them in the bottom of the pot until it's about 3/4 full, and then place perhaps... Well, what we used was a cedar shingle, and on it you put about maybe a half a cup of flowers of sulfur, it's called.
And flowers of sulfur, yes.
At any pharmacy, and you place the flowers of sulfur on the shingle on top of the apples and light it.
And light it,
and then cover the crock with a clean board or some non-reactive metal. And what happens is the sulfur burns and
uh-huh.
gradually replaces the air, which is inside the crock, with sulfur dioxide, which is quite heavy. And even though you can't see it, it behaves much like water and covers the apples and prevents oxygen from reaching. You can find one recipe for doing this on the internet if you Google sulfuring apples.
Sulfuring apples.
And what happens is you come back anytime you want, remove the apples that you need for your recipe, be it
uh-huh.
pie or sauce or whatever, and then relight the sulfur and cover the crock once more.
Put it back in, yeah.
So that the sulfur dioxide that you may have lost is replaced. Now, you would think, oh, these apples are going to taste funny, but they do not. And you can come back in January, February, March. Your apples will be as crisp as you just peeled quartered them, and they work in any recipe for apples you might have.
Well, that's great. That is some very new information for me.
Sulfuring apples. We did it every year, and we formed a little sulfuring apple party. And actually, my mother and my grandmother would prepare probably three or four crocks of them. Then they would get carefully moved to the basement.
Yes.
The sulfur would be lit. The whole thing would be covered, and then you would use them in order. It's important not to disturb the sulfur dioxide, but chemists will tell you that it's very heavy and it will stay in place so long as there are no serious drafts that get into the jar. Works like a charm.
Well, that is great. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Thank you very much. 333.
And that's what they do in Wisconsin.
I guess so.
Sulfuring apples.
And I've just been looking around here for apple syrup. And not only, apparently, other places that you can buy it, but it looks like it can actually make your own, and it's not particularly complicated. That it apparently anything as easy as just simply taking apple juice or cider and then cooking it down and reducing
it down
a syrup. And then some recipes seem to use apple juice and cider plus something like molasses, honey, maple syrup, sugar.
Some
of them have cinnamon in them. Some of them actually have little pieces of apple in them. So it sounds like there are a number of different approaches, but that it should be something that would be pretty easy to make for anybody. And it's not like it's not going to take all day. It's going to take 20 minutes or
I've never heard of apple syrup.
See, now I haven't either, but I guess there's really no that some people think that that's, you know, for pancakes or waffles, that's the thing that you want to have apple syrup. And I could see that that could be a thing that you could use.
You could pour it over your galette.
You could pour it over your galette. Use that as your little bit of a glaze there. See, it's amazing the kind of stuff you learn here from doing a show like this. And I have someone here who has sent in an email with a couple of links. I can give this to you for Czech apple dumpling.
Oh yes,
recipes. I'll print it off for you. I'll give it to you.
Good.
And again, we'll be here by 5-6 minutes left. 333-WILO or 9455 toll free 800-222-9455. Email will-talk@illinois.edu. Do you want to give the recipe, the baked apple recipe that has sauerkraut?
Yes, I do, because I think it's so unusual and it's very simple. I would read from this book. This is a book that I got, an apple harvest, and this sauerkraut stuffed apples. I find this very, very amusing, the beginning. 19th century American cookbooks nearly all contain some sort of apple and sauerkraut recipe. Unless your family came from Germany, Poland, or old Czechoslovakia, your mother probably never opened the cookbook to that page. Too bad. This version that I have here uses mushrooms and bacon. Okay, 1 1/2 cups of fresh sauerkraut, rinsed and well drained. 2 slices of thick-cut slab bacon, diced. 3/4 cup of chopped fresh portobello mushrooms. Seeds from 4 to 6 cardamom pods, crushed. And 1/4 teaspoon of caraway seeds. That would certainly be with the sauerkraut. And freshly ground pepper. And then 4 good baking apples. And 1/2 to 1 cup of fresh cider. So then what you do is you slice the end, slice a half-inch slice off the stem end of the apple and discard the tops, and with a melon baller or a grapefruit spoon, scoop out the core from each apple, being careful not to pierce the blossom end, and discard all of that, and continue to scoop out the apple flesh to make a cavity, and reserve the pulp, not the core, but reserve the pulp that you have. Then spoon the sauerkraut mixture into the apple cavities, dividing it equally, and place the apples in a baking dish enough to hold them in a single layer. Pour the cider into the dish a depth of about 1/4 inch and reserve the pulp distributed around the apples, and bake for 35 to 45 minutes until it's tender, and serve hot directly from the dish, spooning the dish juices around the apples. Now, doesn't that sound worthwhile?
Mm-hmm.
Portobello mushrooms, slab bacon, caraway seeds, cardamom pods, and apples, and then cider and sauerkraut. There you have it. That's one stuffing of an apple, but that caught my eye when I was going through my book. I thought, yes, that is pretty unusual. And for them to say that that was a common thing to have, it even strikes me more. I like that. Mm-hmm. So there's one stuffed apple.
Cardamom is an interesting flavor, and I'm guessing it's something that most people, unless maybe you've done Indian cooking.
Or Finnish cooking.
Well, I was going to say also, I had a friend once who really liked to put cardamom in her coffee.
In a coffee?
And it was a Scandinavian kind of a deal.
Well, there's a pula bread made in Finland that uses a lot of cardamom.
And it's an interesting flavor, but I don't know. As I say, probably most people haven't hardly, unless they've done things from one of those two places, haven't used much cardamom.
It is costly, but you can get it. You can get it here bulk in town, ground, and you can also get the pods. And you take the pods, and you can break them, and then you can kind of mash the seeds with your rolling pin, and that is what is used a lot is the mashed up seeds. But you can buy ground very easily.
Well, I'm sure that I'm not sure, but now I remember what it was that I used it for. It must have been something that was Indian, but I know in my shelf right now at home I have both green and brown cardamom pods
yes.
sitting there, and that they were used, and I think that they just went in whole.
There are some recipes that only call for, but sometimes you crush them, and because the seeds are inside the pod. But yeah, there are two different ones, green and a riper one or whatever. But it's two different kinds of pods.
Yeah, I was not real clear on what exactly the difference between the two, how the flavor between the two things were supposed to be different. It was the same. I thought it was essentially the same thing. It looked the same, except a different color.
It's an exotic flavor, though.
It certainly is.
It really is an exotic flavor.
It certainly is.
And sometimes I think in India it's put in tea. So that you have a boiled tea with the cardamom flavor in the tea.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good stuff.
Well, we're coming down to the point here. We just have a couple of minutes left. Was there something else that maybe you'd want to mention?
Well, I just want to champion fried apples again. Now, you don't need to peel them and slice them. You'd have half the apple. And then take out the core, and then slice these very thin, and I would use butter. I wouldn't use oil. Of course, bacon fat would be absolutely wonderful for drippings in the bottom.
I was assuming that bacon would somehow be involved in this.
It would be. I mean, I'm remembering my 1935 childhood, and so there would have been bacon drippings. And the thing, though, is they're cooked long and slow, and you want to start them certainly long before you're going to eat them for supper, because they want to cook slowly for a long period of time and fairly thorough. They could even have a little bit of not char, but where they have browned a little bit, but they want to be soft and oh gosh, they're good. And I don't like them when they're still crunchy. I mean, I've had baked apples or fried apples, and I think I won't mention the restaurant, but there are a couple of restaurants that purport to have fried apples, but they're not. They're apples that come out of a can that have been canned, and then they just simply heat them up and put some spices on them, and they call them fried apples. Stay away from those. Get the real stuff. And I don't have any recommendations since, as I say, when we had apples, we had apples. It wasn't a matter of searching out specific things or I have to have this or I have to have that. But we have a lot of good varieties and a lot of good help of selecting varieties for what to do.
So when you had the fried apples, was this like a side, a garnish or a relish?
It would be a side dish. I mean, it was one of the major dishes. And then that would, especially if you had sausages or even ham, baked ham, or some leftover roast pork. But apples, and that's what you have in the fall. Sorry, you can't get through the fall without it.
Mm-hmm.
Never had them in the spring, never had them in the summer, only in the fall. So it's getting close. This being the 1st of September, it's getting close.
Yeah. Well, now we have apples all year round, but somehow it's not quite the same as they are when the season is new and you're actually just getting them. And controlled storage is a great thing, but it's not quite the same.
No, that's why I was thinking about that for today, because the apples are coming in now.
Yeah. Okay.
So there we are with apples.
Okay. Well, I guess that just about wraps us up for
the month
of September. We're kind of at that point where we have to finish up. And with the we won't know until there's divine inspiration what we'll be doing for the month
of
October.
Whatever's in the air.
I still can't quite believe we're here at September, and that now we're actually talking about that. Well, that is another month away, but we're actually talking about October. It should be some kind of seasonal thing, some sort of fitting seasonal thing.
Well, I may have to dig out my special pumpkin pie recipe.
Well, it's been a while since we've done that.
We haven't done pumpkins. We could do pumpkins or winter squashes.
That would be good because Mrs. Inge, you know, she's been talking now for a long time. What she wants is the thing is she likes the filling part of the pie. She's not all that wild about the crust. What she wants is a pumpkin pie without the crust.
Oh, I've got one.
You got one. Oh,
I'll have to call my sister. But there's a pumpkin thing. It's not a tort. It's not
thing.
A pie. It's not a cake. But it's baked in a big dish and has several layers. And pumpkin is one of them. And I think there's some whipped cream. And then that's all baked. And I'll find that recipe.
Oh.
Will be the feature. Of next
that
month.
Sounds pretty good.
Oh,
all
I don't
right.
even have to worry about next month.
We've already done it. We could even put that in the schedule. All right. The man is the guy we like to call our chef in residence. His name is Doyle Moore. He stops by here every month. It's always the first Wednesday. We talk about cooking. And so next time, pumpkin pie.
A pumpkin tort of some sort.
We'll
find what that is.
We'll come up with the pumpkin pie without the crust.
Yes.
All right. Very good.
I've got your answer.
Thank you very much.